Chapter 1, Birth of a Seaport. Gabriel Archer sailed aboard the bark Concord with Captain Bartholomew Gosnold into Buzzards Bay and the mouth of the Acushnet River in June 1602. Archer was impressed by the surrounding landscape and wrote that the estuary may happily become good harbors and conduct us to the hopes men so greedily do thirst after. He immediately recognized that this region offered a broad and protected haven with unlimited potential for development. An expedition party constructed a stockade on an islet at the western end of Cuttyhunk, one of seven islands that Gosnold named in honor of his queen, Elizabeth I. The party's encounters with the Wampanoag, whom they described as tall in stature and a fair-conditioned people, were guardedly friendly and included the exchanging of gifts. Finding new sources of sassafras, used for medicinal purposes in Elizabethan England, was one of the goals of the voyage, while establishing a trading post and settlement was another. However, few winter provisions and a few dubious encounters with the natives left members of the expedition party weary. They abandoned the stockade and sailed back to England. Otherwise, Cuttyhunk might have become the first permanent English settlement in New England. 50 years later, in 1652, 37 colonial settlers purchased the Dartmouth territory from Massasoit, chief of the Wampanoag, and Wamsutta, his son, encompassing modern-day New Bedford, Acushnet, Dartmouth, Fairhaven, and Westport. The Dartmouth Purchase was recorded at Plymouth in 1664, hence the organizational name of Old Dartmouth. The purchase consisted of trading a specific list of items for the land, which included 180 square miles, marking one of the largest Massachusetts land transfers of the period. Traded items included 30 yards of cloth, 8 moose skins, 15 axes, 15 hoes, 15 pair of breeches, 8 blankets, 2 kettles, 1 cloak, 2 pounds in wampum, 8 pair stockings, 8 pair shoes, 1 iron pot, and 10 shillings in another commodity. While only a few of the original 37 purchasers settled the region, their descendants remain, and settlers with names including Delano, Alden, Kempton, Hicks, Soule, and Howland became some of the most important and influential residents of the area. Quakers, a religious sect suffering persecution in England and throughout the New World due to their opposition to taxes in support of the official church, were among Dartmouth's original settlers. For their recalcitrance, they were severely treated by the Puritans of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, although less so by the Pilgrims of Plymouth Colony, who were themselves separatists from the Anglican Church. Although banished from these two colonies, Roger Williams allowed the Quakers to settle in his more tolerant Providence plantation, beginning around 1656, and also in Newport, Rhode Island. From there, they made their way east to Dartmouth and the forested hinterlands of southeastern Massachusetts, and beyond to the distant island of Nantucket, meaning faraway land in the Wampanoag language. The establishment of the Dartmouth Township signaled the start of a new epoch. The clearing of woodlands and wide-scale building activity accelerated exponentially, causing tensions to rise and disputes to erupt with increasing frequency. Swelling numbers of settlers encroaching on native hunting grounds and consuming resources escalated clashes between natives and immigrants. By 1675, the violence exploded into what became known as King Philip's War. This brutal conflict took its name from Metacomet, sachem of the Wampanoag, whom the English called Philip. Metacomet was the younger brother of Wamsutta, who died under questionable circumstances while in the custody of Plymouth Colony, further exacerbating the already tenuous relations. The Quakers typically established widely scattered homesteads, as opposed to closely settled villages around a central church, greatly increasing their vulnerability to attack when hostilities arose. Massacres and destruction occurred on both sides, with widespread ruin of homesteads and native villages. The settlers built several garrisons for protection, including Russell's Garrison on the north bank of the Ponagansett River, Cook Garrison at Oxford Village in Fairhaven, and the garrison at Palmer's Island. Despite lasting little more than a year, King Philip's War was the bloodiest conflict per capita in American history. During this period, the Puritans' religious fanaticism lost some of its sharp edge. Settlers could now devote their energies to culling fish from the teeming stocks off Cape Cod, named by Gosnell in recognition of the abundance of cod that he found there. The settlers harvested lumber for charcoal, mined iron ore, and quarried granite from the same land that the Native Americans had lived on for over 1,000 years. Dartmouth's inhabitants sought to build communities and strengthen economic ties with England and the West Indies through maritime trade. In 1765, Quaker Joseph Roach arrived from Nantucket to establish his whaling business. He brought his expertise in the whale fishery in addition to financial acumen and substantial capital to invest. From Joseph Russell, also a Quaker, he purchased 10 acres of land on the western shore of the Acushnet River, in addition to smaller parcels within the nascent village. The Russell family, the principal landholder in the area, had already sold land in 1760 to John Loudon, a shipwright and calker, who helped fulfill Joseph Russell's vision of developing a whaling port. By 1762, mechanic Gideon Mosier and blacksmith L. Nathan Sampson also settled in the neighborhood and helped form the core of a versatile maritime community. Roach, a savvy diplomat, made use of the name Bedford for the village as a tribute to his grantor, as Russell bears the family name of the Duke of Bedford. 20 years later, when Bedford Village requested permission from the General Court of Massachusetts to secede from Dartmouth and become a town of its own, the name was revised to New Bedford to draw distinction from the existing town of Bedford, Massachusetts, located 15 miles northwest of Boston. Joseph Roach's 10 acres set into motion a burgeoning of the town's maritime enterprises, transforming whaling from a small-scale, family-based enterprise into a complex capitalist industry. These entrepreneurs combined their whaling expertise with the oil refineries and candle manufactories of Newport, Rhode Island. Ties through marriage among prominent Quaker families in Newport, Philadelphia, Nantucket, and New Bedford cultivated alliances and partnerships across the whale fishery, mercantile, and financial sectors, fostering an ever-growing network of commerce and industry. In 1767, Joseph Roach and son launched the Dartmouth, the first vessel built in then Bedford Village. Upon delivering whale oil to England in autumn 1773, she was chartered to the East India Company to bring tea into Boston. She gained national fame then when the Sons of Liberty boarded her and dumped the cargo into Boston Harbor. Buzzards Bay's myriads of coves and inlets were particularly conducive to colonial privateers intent on attacking the British shipping industry in the years leading up to the American Revolution. During the war, on September 5, 1778, two frigates of the Royal Navy led a small fleet, anchored at Clark's Point, and landed 4,000 troops. They marched into Bedford Village, leaving destruction in their wake. The invaders proceeded to the head of the Acushnet River, crossed over to the east side of the harbor into the present-day towns of Acushnet and Fairhaven, and laid waste to several more dwellings. It took years for the village and whaling operations to recover from the onslaught, but the destruction strengthened the region's resolve to gain American independence. Following the American Revolution, Britain challenged American sovereignty again during the War of 1812. As a result of tumultuous public demonstrations and debate over taxes in the war, the village of Fairhaven seceded in 1812 from New Bedford. Local shipwright George Claghorn was hired by Secretary of War Henry Knox as the naval constructor of the USS Constitution. Claghorn's reputation for constructing vessels of extraordinary strength began with the ship Rebecca, which he built in 1785 for Joseph Russell. Several scholars and historians credit the Rebecca as the first ship to sail round Cape Horn in pursuit of whale oil and then return successfully. While the American whaling industry was well organized by the mid-1700s, operations grew rapidly with the cessation of hostilities with Britain. Along with Joseph Russell and Joseph Roach, a group of Nantucket whaling businessmen owned and operated the vessels, while a cartel of Boston, Newport, and Providence merchants controlled the catch, refined the oil, manufactured the candles, set the prices for oil and bone, and even monopolized the coastwise and foreign export routes that brought American products to market. As markets blossomed around the world in the late 18th and early 19th centuries, New Bedford found itself at the epicenter of the young nation's first global industry. Chapter 1. Profile: The Quakers. George Fox founded the Quaker sect, more properly named the Society of Friends, around 1647 in England. Fox and his followers believed that the power of the Holy Spirit that they called the light of Christ was an inner light, and that God was within all human beings, speaking to all races and sexes equally. Quakers were Christians, but they did not believe in ordination, having priests or ministers. They were pacifists, modest in appearance, and dedicated in achieving success in life through following their inner light. The merchant families who came to New Bedford from Nantucket in the 1760s brought not only their whaling expertise, but also the Quaker traditions that had sustained them on the island. These traditions profoundly influenced business dealings and social relations during the whaling era and afterwards. Quaker merchant financiers practiced a fundamentally egalitarian system of employment that tended to welcome able participants, regardless of race or creed. The prevailing atmosphere of tolerance encouraged abolitionism and made New Bedford a refuge for escaped slaves and a destination for hopeful immigrants, factory laborers from big cities, and farmhands from the rural hinterlands. There was work for all hands in the city's shipyards, shops, factories, and on whale ships. Meanwhile, Quaker business practices coupled prosperity with stability, attracted capital, solidified commercial connections with New York and Boston, and established solid social and business relationships with the prosperous Quaker community in Philadelphia. These relationships endured for generations, well into the 19th century, yielding additional capital, promoting New Bedford's first railroad in 1838, and resulting in a crucial railroad and coal scuttling linkage in 1883 that would serve the region handsomely even after the whale fishery declined and manufacturing became the city's lifeblood.